Hello and welcome to the Cali Outdoorsman podcast. Today we have special guest Santiago, and Santiago is the, what do you call yourself, is the president of?
Yeah, I'm the president.
The president of Chasing Tail Fishing Crew. So me and Santiago met through, how did we actually first meet? I met you on a fishing boat once.
Yeah, I believe it was a fishing boat. I don't recall which boat it was, but also I think it was on the pier as well, wasn't it?
I don't know that I've actually fished on the pier with you, to be honest with you.
Oh, okay.
So I think it was on a fishing boat, and then I don't know if I started following your Facebook or something. I know it was through social media, so it's been a long time. So I think it probably was Facebook, because
I think you're right.
Yeah. So but anyways, we'll go ahead and jump into the interview. So he's the president of Chasing Tail Fishing Crew, the one that started it all and stuff. So we'll just go ahead and start kind of
from the
beginning. You know. So what did you start fishing? Like when you were younger, like as a kid, or was it when you got older?
Yeah,
or?
Actually, my dad, when I was, 7, 8 years old, used to take me to Winnie McNear and fish when the mackerel would come in. You know, I remember, looking at other fishermen and the less fortunate ones, obviously, you know, had a can and a piece of string and a hook. And so that's what I did. I would watch them and pay attention, and after a little while, go to the trash cans, find a aluminum can, put some string on it, and a little weight in the hook, and that's how we would fish.
Yeah,
you know,
man, I've seen some of the best fishermen that I've seen as far as like pulling numbers. I know there's one spot that I went to, and there was an older lady, and she had a big old 2-liter bottle with fish in there, and this was like not that long ago. And she was fishing with a spark plug on the bottom her weight.
That's actually, my dad used to take us out to the jetties a lot now.
Yeah.
You know, the rock piles, and we would do that, if it wasn't a can, it would be a bottle.
Yeah.
The cans would actually rip right through the middle because of all the tension of the line itself.
Yeah, it'd crush it.
Casting it, crushing it, casting it and bringing it back in and, So I remember a little bit of that, and it all kind of faded away after the teenage years,
get distracted,
school, other activities and stuff like that, just kind of lost interest in it.
Yeah.
Last time that I remember, getting into fishing was back in 2012. A buddy of mine invited me. And as a matter of fact, my ex-boss bought me a fishing pole. Why? I have no idea.
Just a super random gift?
Yeah, it's just like, okay, fishing pole. It's like, all right, what am I going to do with this? Kind of thing. And a buddy of mine, just asked me, because he would take both of his two boys out to Ventura Pier.
Yeah.
And he would go out there and fish, And so I was like, all right, what the hell, I'll give it a go. And ended up at the end of Ventura Pier after, kind of walking and fishing different spots from the beginning of the pier to the middle to the very end. And, I mean, it was like the light switch.
Yeah.
When I saw a couple of the guys, actually one main guy that, he's like a brother to me. His name's Ross.
Yeah, Big Ross.
Big Ross.
Yep.
And I we're fishing. My buddy takes off, and I stay by myself, and I'm just there fishing. And all of a sudden, I hear a clicker. Now that I know what it was, go off. And this guy's running to his fishing pole, and I'm like, what are they doing?
It's all the hype. Yeah.
No idea what exactly was going on, other than it's like, okay, put a weight at the end of it, tie a hook and drop it down and maybe catch a perch or whatever, I was trying to catch.
Yeah.
And, so, I mean, 5, 10, 15 minutes later, I see this shark coming overboard, you know, over the rail.
Yeah.
I'm like, are you kidding me? It's like, are you guys catching shark out here? And that did it for me.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and that was back in 2012. And
who was it that caught that? Was that Big Ross that caught that?
Big Ross, yeah, Big Ross.
What did he catch? Like a thresher? Or a...
Yeah, it was probably from head to tail. It was probably like a seven and a half foot, you know, thresher.
It's a
juvenile, obviously. Yeah. You know, it's a small shark, but
still cool to see.
You know, oh yeah, they're awesome creatures.
Yeah.
And so that did it for me. I mean, any fishing equipment that I would see. Anywhere, yard sales, swap meets or whatnot, I would pretty much buy.
Yeah, you're hooked already.
Oh my, yeah, it was, it's like I said, you know, turning a light switch.
Yeah.
And, from that point on, it just kind of, you know, about a year later, another buddy of mine, you know, came to me with the crew name.
Yeah,
and we kind of, you know, about four or five of us, kind of started off of that, and worked off of that with the name and sweaters and hats and stuff like that. Kind of created our own little brand,
yeah,
and our own little brotherhood, and kind of, you know, kept on fishing those. You know, we would meet up at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, and at the end of interpret here, and then. Wait for the bites, you know, would make our own bait, you know, sabikis and stuff like that, would make our own bait, light bait, and just wait for the sharks to come through.
Yeah.
Whether it was a soup fin, a dogfish, a leopard, shovel nose, guitar fish, which is the same thing.
Yeah.
Angel sharks, pressures, you know, just a bunch of different species of sharks that you could actually catch off of a pier for the most part.
Yeah. Yeah, Ventura's got a good variety, I feel like, too.
Oh, yeah.
Like, because I personally really like fishing up at Goleta Pier. Uh-huh. But at Goleta, you normally just get leopards, threshers, and swell sharks. You get thornbacks, too, but, yeah. Shovel nose. I have a hard time considering those things sharks. Like, it is sharks because they're not really fish, but, like, at the same time, like, when I think of a shark, I think of like a shark with teeth and those things.
Yeah.
And I think it was too, because like we would go out there and Ventura and Santa Barbara and all along our coast, I feel like the thornback things are just, they're almost like they're everywhere. Yeah. Like if you throw some squid out there or any type of bait, you're going to get one, you know? So yeah, like,
like free for all,
y'all. Exactly. So like so I always look at other fish as more of like the game fish other than thornbacks, but they are fun to catch. They're definitely, you know, a full night of catching those things every 30 minutes something is fun.
You get to pull something other than just, you know, sitting there and, you know, watching the tide coming in and out.
Yeah. So you started mainly with the pier fishing. When, because I know, like I said, I think we met for the first time, I think, on the...
Might have been the Speed Twin.
I was going to say, I think it might have been either the Speed Twin or the Gentleman, maybe.
Yeah, that's where I started. That's
And so how did that start? How did you get it? Because so you mainly do saltwater fishing, right? You don't do that much freshwater?
Yes, I tried some freshwater, and it just wasn't for me. I'm super anal when it comes to like finicky fish, and that's the way bass fishing is.
Yeah.
The way that I see it.
Well,
I just don't have the patience for it.
To be 100% honest with you, I think it's mainly bass fishing around here. If you go to other states or places that aren't fished as heavily as here, all of our water around here is just gnarly, overly fished when it comes to freshwater. So, yeah. Like, our fish are a lot more finicky with freshwater.
That's probably what it is.
It makes it hard. Yeah, it makes it really hard to be into it. Like, you really got to be pretty diehard to be a bass fisherman around here. Yeah. Because if you go other places, like, you talk to people from the South and stuff. I know some guys from the military, and, like, they're like, man, back home, like, bass, it's like you threw anything out there. Like, you could throw a piece of ham or turkey on a hook, and you're going to catch a bass, you know?
Yeah,
and I'm like, over here... Yeah, it's like over here you got, you know, guys fishing with $80 swim baits and and still trying to catch one. You know, they fish for like a month straight without catching something, you know. So yeah, it's like
that's probably what it is.
Yeah. So
I've done it, but yeah, I don't. I mean, it's just more tackle, which is not a bad thing, but I don't think it's for me.
Yeah.
As of now, maybe down the road, who knows? You know.
Yeah. So mainly you enjoy saltwater fishing, and then so do you. You know, you started with the pier stuff, but do you do? And then we're talking about going on boats. Do you do like any surf fishing too, or?
I also do surf fishing, you know, from time to time. I did that for a couple of years,
or whatnot. Yeah.
Perch, you know, with the slider and stuff like that. It's called a Carolina rig, I believe. You know,
yeah.
Slider, a little bead, and then your swivel, and then your line with the your hook.
A little grub or sandworm or sand crab or something.
Put it on plastic.
Whatnot. Yeah.
I did some of that as well.
Yeah.
Up and down the coast, and but it's mainly, you know, my biggest focus on saltwater fishing has been the boats.
Yeah,
I love getting on there and just kind of interacting with people.
Yeah,
and just enjoying the day. You know, it's like you forget about anything and everything that's happening in an everyday life. You know, and just the whole, you know, work and come home and stuff like that. You know,
you're out
on the boat. It's awesome, just kind of forgetting about all that stuff.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I know for me, you know, like I was talking to my wife about this, because for me, like being that, like I've, you know, I go back and forth with work being self-employed and not, but like I always have stuff going on. So like my life's kind of, I'd say I got a pretty stressful life. I have three little kids, and then with work and stuff. So like I have a really hard time shutting my mind down. So like not like being able to focus on one specific thing that I enjoy. So that's one of the things that really drew me to ocean fishing on the boats was, like you were saying, it's like once you leave the dock, nothing else
your
in the world matters.
It's
like
somewhere else.
It's like, yeah, you're offshore. Like you can't turn the boat around.
No,
unless there's like a full blown emergency, like they're not going to go back and drop you off for something. So
no.
Like you basically you have to learn to like let go of the world and just focus on fishing and, you know, interacting with people on the boat, which can be kind of, you know, depending on which boat you get on. Sometimes it can be frustrating in itself, but, which I'm sure.
Totally.
Yeah. So
you have to learn how to deal with the positive and the negative.
Yeah.
And most of the time, the negative is just people that are frustrated with everyday life and they're trying to find an escape and they bring that negative on the boat. And as soon as you start kind of, you know, poking at them and kind of, you know, kind of giving them a way of a smile or whatnot or a little joke that they might like, and then they open up and that's all, you know, that's what it's all about, you know, enjoying the rest of the day. And at the end of the day, you know, the thank yous, the smiles, the laughs, and all the good vibes that comes from it, that's why I love being out on the boats.
Yeah.
You know, and just interacting with a lot of people. And you don't have to be rich. You don't have to have the best gear. You don't have to sometimes be the best fisherman. Or, you know, you just have to love the sport.
Yeah.
And it'll give back, you know, 100-fold, you know, if you learn to appreciate it.
Yeah.
And learn to have the patience for it.
Yeah.
That was my biggest thing with the kettlebells, you know.
So do you did you start going on like the less expensive ones, you know, like the Gentleman Speed Twin and stuff?
I mean, it's one of those things where it's like you don't expect to be paying that much money, you know, when you're not used to you know, spending the money on a boat, you know.
Yeah.
At first you're like, okay, you know, I'm going to go with the less expensive boat, you know, because you don't know what to expect.
Yeah.
And you hear these big amounts of some of the boats, and you're like, wow, I can't really afford all that or, you know, whatnot. But once you get going, you know, and you start paying attention to the quality of the fish, you know, then you start kind of, okay, this is where I want to be. That's the fun boat. That's the boat that, you know, gets bit or whatnot. But you know, you can't also let go of the boats that that you had a lot of fun on, you know.
Especially, yeah.
You know, I still go back and I still fish the Speed Twin. I still have a really good time on the Gentleman itself.
Yeah.
And not just those boats, you know, there's other boats out there too, Ventura Sports Fishing, Santa Barbara, you know.
Oh,
the
yeah.
Guys up there and down south, you know.
Yeah.
Every boat has its ups and downs, and it's what you make of it, you know.
Yeah. No, I think it definitely does. You know, like one of the things that drives me nuts whenever I go out on those boats is when you get people that are, I don't know if you'd call them sarcastic or, you know, or just kind of downers in the way that, you know, like people get upset about certain boats, like, oh, they just go rock fishing or they just do this, or, you know, they start just like making it a downer. And it's like, you know what,
yeah.
For me, like what we were just talking about, it's like, for me, it's the whole experience of getting out there, being on the water, like giving me the opportunity to just focus on fishing and, you know, enjoying my time. And it really bums me out when you see people that are negative like that. And that's really what got me into doing more, you know, like I started doing some of my own charters, and that was one of the main things, because I started going on some sponsored charters,
mm-hmm.
which yep. I know you've been on those. And I feel like people that go for those, it's not so much that, like, because sometimes you go on sponsored charters and it's the same price as a normal yes. ticket. And, yep. but the thing is you're going with people that are into the industry, as far as like, they're going to go fishing. They're not going to go, you know, like I think the worst mindset is when people try to compare, you know, the price of fish for a fishing uh-huh. trip. Have you ever, like, I'm sure you've fished with people that are that way, you know, like if they're not getting bit,
oh, yeah,
they're pissed.
Yeah. I just paid $100.
Yeah.
I didn't catch that. What
yeah.
is going on?
Exactly.
It's like, you don't understand.
It's like they're entitled.
Yeah, exactly. I've had many, many conversations with people like that where it's like, well, why aren't we doing this? Why? It's like, well, you gotta understand, it's called fishing, not catching, first of all.
Yeah, you're paying for the trip.
It's you're getting away from all the drama and all the BS
yeah.
from everyday life, aren't you?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's like, well, that's in its own it's gold.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, if you're just gonna, then if you're expecting $100 worth of meat, then just go to the grocery store. don't stress yourself. Just go buy what you want.
Yeah.
You know, the kind of meat, you know, fish that you want, and go off of that, you know?
Yeah.
And they're like, well, yeah, it's like, well, I mean, aren't you enjoying yourself at least, you know?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and then it's just, you know, so that's my biggest thing. It's like, you know, just sometimes you just got to talk to people and, you know, make them, you know, a little easy on you know, the way they're carrying themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. You know, it just, it gets a little frustrating.
Yeah.
And sometimes, yeah, we do have our own, you know, our own, how would I say it, a root, you know, we're rude at times in ourselves,
yeah.
you know, and that's just the way it goes, you know. It's just I've had days like that where it's like I just don't want to deal with anybody, just being alone, and
yeah,
and then I catch myself being rude or just, you know, just rude.
Well,
and I have to just sit back and just, you know, take a moment, gather myself, and then, okay, you know, I'm just gonna have a good time.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, like one of the things, you know, that really seems to help for, like, as far as going on the fishing boats, it, you know, like, I mean, you've been on, have you been on any of the Mission Fish trips or no?
I started off with them when they first, Brian, when he first came to me and was thinking about doing that. So I did a couple of those trips, you know.
Yeah.
With him and stuff like that, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah, but
know?
Like, so like what I was going to say though is like one of the things that I've noticed, because like when I go on those trips with them, it's, you know, you get people, like, because when you go on open parties, you know, you kind of get a mixture of people too. But I haven't been on a lot of open parties lately, mainly just because, like, for financial or what, I just don't have the time and the money
yeah,
to go.
Yeah, totally.
So I've been going on those trips and volunteering on that. So like I see a lot of it with them, as far as like the people are coming from all different walks of life, from all over the place. I mean, shoot, like like normally the closest people still drive about an hour and a half to get to the landing to go on those trips. Like they're all from pretty far away. And so like when they all come together, like the first, I'd say probably the first, well, however long it takes to get to the fishing grounds. And then like the first hour, it seems like everybody's kind of like in a grumpy, like, don't talk to me mood. Yeah, you know, they're, you know, because they're all just like, you know, I woke up too early. I'm, you know, there's just so much grumpiness on there. And I don't know if it's the coffee kicks in or whatever. But then, like, it seems like after about an hour of actually fishing and, like, by that time, like, almost everybody's gotten bit at least once and got brought something up. Then it's like all of a sudden the whole boat's, you know, the whole boat changes. And like everybody's friend, you know, everybody starts, you know, joking and messing around. And then by the end of the day though, it's like, you're you know, you basically just gained
about the morning.
Yep. And you just gained a whole bunch of friends and like, that was, you know, that's one of the things like I've talked to Brian about before too. And like, that's what his whole thing was with doing that with the veterans was a lot of these people, that's what they act like on their daily basis, you know, like whether they're, whatever they're stressed about and just getting them together for that time and sharing that time and then being able to, you know, recreate like almost a brotherhood that they've had from being in the military. And it's,
and
it works with everybody. Yeah.
That's what everybody's like, well, you know, it kind of takes me back to the military, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like everybody getting together, everybody having a good time, everybody, you know? And I'm not by myself at home or whatnot and worrying about, you know, what am I going to do tomorrow or how's life's going to be in the next 5 years or if I'm going to be comfortable or if I'm going to be, you know, where I'm going to be. You know, that day is for them and for us. You know, as soon as we get on the boat, we forget about all the other stuff after a little while.
Yeah. And that's what I was saying, like comparing it to like what he, you know, his mission behind all that, it's, we basically have the same takeaway, you know, as long as we're using that properly, as far as like not staying negative throughout the day, you know, as long as we open up and stuff, it's like that to me was what was really appealing as far as the ocean boats is the whole trip, you know, like you go out there. And like I said, like, no matter what mood you're in, whether you're stressed, you know, even if you're happy, you know, like whatever, you can be the first guy that's happy at 6 o'clock in the morning. That's definitely not me normally. You know, I'll say hi and give you a smile. That's about it. I'm like, until they break out the breakfast burritos, I'm not doing too hot, you guys. You know,
I'll shake your hand, but I'm not
gonna
smile.
Exactly. So it's like, you know, but
you can hold a burrito for me, then now we're
yeah. But you know, like, but that whole experience, and to me, like, I mean, I've had to deal with a lot of stuff, like, mentally, as far as, you know, like, almost, like, preparing myself mentally and keeping myself in a good state of mind.
Yeah, you have to.
And I think that's one of the things for me that's really important about going fishing. And I think that those types of trips really just do a lot for me mentally, because I get that whole day, like you said, you know, like, cause you're out of control, you know, like you can't do nothing, you know, whether you're married and you got a wife at home that's, you know, upset or on your back about doing stuff, or you're stressed, or yeah, work, kids, whatever you have at home. Once you leave the dock, it's like, you have no control over that.
Nope.
And so it's like your only purpose is to catch fish that day. And if you catch fish or you don't catch fish, you know, that's up to you. But, you know, like that, it just allows you to enjoy something, and something that I enjoy already. Like, I enjoy fishing. Like, you know, I go freshwater fishing, which is not that great of freshwater fishing around here, like we talked about.
But still, you enjoy it.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about.
Like for me, you know? I mean, around here, you know, it's really hard for me to break away and go fishing. Like, I mean, I live walking distance from Lake Acetus, and I haven't, you know, I've probably in 2019, I might've went, I'd say less than 10 times all year, which is sad. I literally, like I said, I live walking distance to the lake, but I just don't ever make the time for myself to go out there and go fishing. And when I have gone, I think the longest I've been out there was maybe 3 hours, you know? And so it's like, but when I go on a fishing boat, you're forced, You know, it's almost like going, it's almost like taking a job. It's like you're forced to be there for, you know, at least yeah, 8 hours or
mentally,
something.
You're preparing yourself, just like what you were saying. You're preparing yourself. Okay, this day is just for fishing and there's no going back.
Yeah.
I just can't. It's not the lake. It's not fresh water. It's not a river. It's where when you could walk off, you know, and take off and get on your car and go home.
Yeah.
No, this, you are committed.
Yeah.
You're definitely committed. Like you said earlier, it's like if something major happens, then they'll turn the boat around, or somebody just brought something that they shouldn't have brought.
Yeah.
You know, which I thank God it's never happened.
Yeah. Have you ever had anything major happen when you were on a boat? Like for yourself personally?
That's what I was about to say. I was on the Gentleman on about maybe 3-4 years ago.
Yeah.
And we were heading down, we actually ended up down further condos.
Yeah.
The condos, and we're fishing Yellowtail.
Yeah.
That's what the Yellowtail were over there. And so yeah, we're fishing, you know, yo-yoing and stuff like that, and older gentleman in the corner just kinda got on his knees. And we're like, okay. And in a matter of seconds, his eyes rolled back and he just completely fainted.
Oh, geez.
And, oh, yeah, it was a full-on emergency.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, the captain of the boat, which is now the owner, Donnie, you know, just got on the radio right away and got everybody involved and we headed back.
Yeah.
We headed back full throttle. You know, and
probably the fastest that boat's gone, huh?
I know, yeah, it was pretty crazy, you know.
Yeah.
And halfways, Harbor Patrol met us halfways, you know, Point Mugu Rock or, you know, the Point Mugu Bay, somewhere around there, and got on the boat. Luckily, the older gentleman came about and opened his eyes and everything's good, you know. It's just give him some water. And by the time, you know, Harbor Patrol came, got him on their boat, and it was still early enough where we turned back around.
Went back fishing?
And then we kept on fishing.
Oh, that's cool.
And I ended up with a couple nice yellowtail that day on the yo-yo.
Nice.
So, but yeah, no, we're, you know, I've heard of people just passing away on a couple, 2-3 boats.
Yeah, that's...
And that's... I can't imagine being on that, you know, on a boat.
Yeah.
Or something like that happens, you know.
Have you ever had, you know, because, like, a lot of the places we go on the boats, you don't get reception, but have you ever had, like, something bad happen at home or something like that where, like, somebody's been able to contact you and then you're, like, kind of ruins the trip for you or anything?
No, I've had something happen to where it's, like, I come in... We're coming in, and as soon as reception comes in, my boat, my phone completely goes
blows
off. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I had to rush home because of family emergency.
Yeah, I was going to say, I had one. It was horrible because it happened in the morning, and I was actually, it was on the Speed Twin. I went out with my brother and his girlfriend, and we went out fishing, and I think we were bass fishing. But we were in shallow, I think it was down, it was down by Point Mugu area or something like that.
Okay.
But yeah, anyway, like it wasn't super far out. So it was somewhere where we had reception, but this reception was spotty.
Mm-hmm.
And, we were fishing there and it was a half day. So I think we left at like 8 or something like that.
Okay.
And
then
so it was only like, I want to say it was like 9 o'clock, maybe 10 o'clock in the morning. And I got a phone call from my wife and, my dog. So my wife was pregnant at the time.
Oh, wow.
And she was like pretty pregnant, like 7-8 months, like big belly, you know?
Getting close.
Yeah. So I think this was going to be like my last trip before the baby kind of trip. And so she calls me freaking out, and I had an older dog at the time, my dog Max, and he was, he was like 13 or something like that at the time.
Wow.
Well, he started having a seizure at home, and my wife, you know, we Yeah, we had our place, but like there was nobody else that lived there with her. It was, you know, so when I was gone, it was just her and my dog. And so she, you know, here's my dog is having a seizure on the floor and she didn't know what to do. And she was trying to get him in the car, but he was too old. Like he couldn't even get, like she like basically was able to help him out with the seizure. But then like she was trying to get him in the car to take him to the vet and she couldn't get him in the car. So she's all crying and freaking out. And it, and then we kept dropping calls and I was like, gosh, dang it. I was like, this is horrible. Man, you know? So then like,
very frustrating.
And then luckily my mom, like I was able to get a hold of my mom who lived right around the corner. And she rushed over and helped. But then, like, that whole time, like, luckily I was stoked because, like, okay, I had somebody to go help her. But then, like, the whole time I'm still stressing out. Like, this was my child life. This is my childhood dog. Yeah.
Can we go home?
Yeah. So, exactly. So I'm sitting there, like, that was probably one of the only.
The cast is like, okay, guys.
Yeah.
We're just going to, you know, keep on fishing. Yeah. I know we need to go home, but then we're going
to
do a couple more drifts.
We're trying to get, we're trying to fill the bags. I'm like, no. My only motivation to fish was to fill limits. You know, I'm like, shoot, I need to start filling limits. Keep that little one. But yeah, they're like, you don't even have enough fish to make one fish taco. I'm like, I don't care. You know,
I don't care. It's time but to go.
So that was like the only time that I've ever had that was close to an emergency or whatever. And it wasn't really an emergency. It was just. It ruined my state of mind as far as like,
I bet.
I've had stuff where I've came back and then like my phone blew up cause something happened when we were gone, but it doesn't ruin your mindset. So like after that trip, I've kind of learned my lesson to like, just turn my phone on airplane mode. So then like nothing, you know, cause like if my wife would have called, like she called me first, which is the right thing to do. But like at the same time, if she would have just called my mom, then like none of it would have ruined my trip. And it would have been the same turnout. So
that's one thing that I do is like, unless we're on the beach, like you said, you know, cause we're freaking nosy. We want everybody to see our catch and what we're doing and blah, blah, you know?
Yeah,
that's what we, you know, keep it, and that's what we do. Hey, look what we caught. Well, yeah. Where are you guys at? Like, we're on social media posting our stuff while we're fishing.
Yeah,
where are you guys at?
Yeah,
come on out. But for the most part, I try to kind of, you know, put my phone on airplane mode and just kind of enjoy the day of fishing and you know, just make, you know, that's how I do it. I try. Unless, you know, I have reception, then it's game on, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I know I've done some trips in Santa Barbara too, and you go on there half days, they stay pretty coastal too, so you get reception the whole time. And or even out of Ventura, I've done some out of Ventura where they just went up the coast.
Yep.
And same thing.
Harassing everybody that's not fishing.
Yep, exactly.
That's a straight addict.
You're missing out, man. You're missing out.
What I'm catching, what are you doing?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, getting yelled at or getting just, you know, harassed or whatnot, whatever.
Yeah.
You can keep on doing it.
Yep.
You know, so.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, yeah, other than that.
Cool.
I've never had an event like that, and like I said, you know, it was coming in out of I was on the Thunderbird, we're fishing San Clemente, and as a matter of fact, I believe that might have been that day that I caught that big tuna.
Oh, really?
Yeah. No, that was another day. I'm thinking because that's the day that everybody was trying to figure out how big that fish was.
Yeah.
You know, but the other one, I flew home, and it was my older son that was just not doing good, and he was in the hospital in the ER.
Oh, geez.
So that's another thing why I try to stay home as much as possible, or do the full days or the three quarter days or even the half day boats, just to kind of stay, you know, close.
Yeah.
To home. And not try to do those, you know, drive 2-3 hours away from home and do overnights and stuff like that because of that experience.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I want to do more of the – I haven't actually ever been out of San Diego or Long Beach. And I want to go fishing down there, but, like, I've – Number one reason is like it's been hard for me. It, just like it is the very first time you go out on an ocean boat, it's just hard to drop the money. I know that I'm going to enjoy it.
Well, you'd be surprised. You'd be surprised because the further south, obviously San Diego is not. But if you go out of like 22nd Street and down from Marina del Rey,
yeah,
down to towards Oceanside, mm-hmm. some of those half day boats are only $40.
Yeah,
but. It kind of evens out because you still got to spend the gas.
The drive down there, yeah.
So the drive and all that stuff. But, yeah, I mean, if the bite's there and not up here, guess what?
Yep.
We're going south.
Yeah. Yeah, have you done...
My biggest thing with what you're saying is like, I want to just... I love to fish different boats.
Yeah.
And that was my whole thing a couple, 2-3 years ago. And since my new job, then I, you know, 2018 and 2019 was not that good of fishing for me, just because I didn't have the time.
Yeah. Well, it's hard. I mean, like, I had 2008. Well, no, my daughters are. So, because I had. The year that I got the most fishing in, I think, was the year before my daughter was born. So my daughter just turned 5 yesterday.
Wow.
So 5 years ago was my prime ocean boat fishing. And then after that, it was like the year that she was 1, I think I went like maybe 2 or 3 trips. And then the following year when she was 2, like was when my twins were born, right? That my twins were born right before she turned 2. And so that time in my life, I was busy, yeah, you know, between family and work, and we were in between moving different places and stuff. So it was like, it just was fishing for a full day was just not on the list. Like it was,
oh no. Yeah.
And then, it gets pricey. And then also like it's, you know, you got your priorities as far as like what your time's going to be spent. Like you get a day off of work. You know, if you've been working 6 days a week, you know, obviously your wife and your kids are going to want to see you for a day if you're working 6 days a week. Yeah, so
we can't be selfish, you know, can't take off. And, you know, I was lucky when I was working my other job because I had Monday and Tuesday off.
Yeah.
My wife's at work. My kids are in school.
Yeah.
And guess what? I got free time.
Yep.
It's not like now, you know, where it's like, I travel out of town, I get home, and I got to stay home. You know, I got to, you know, spend time with my wife and the kid. Well, my kids are grown now, but
yeah, you still got to spend time with family.
Much, yeah, regardless, you know, so.
Yeah, and but, that changed a lot.
Year, yeah, it does. This coming up, well, this year, 2020 should be hopefully a lot better out in the water, you know, as far as getting out or. Even the surf, I picked up another 9.5-10 foot stick for the surf, so I have 2 of them now.
Oh, nice.
And I try to focus on that if I can't get on the boats or whatnot, you know. 3-4 hours out on the beach.
Oh, go do a morning session or afternoon session. Yeah, totally. You know, that's one thing that I like about surf fishing, too. And, like, I go through spurts with surf fishing, I feel like, because – I think I'd kind of get over. I'm not a huge fan of the cold water in the sand, to be honest. Uh-huh. I'd rather be wearing, you know, shoes and be nice and dry and warm. You know, when it's nice and beautiful out and everybody's swimming and surfing and stuff, I'm like, okay, I'll go out there. But like in the wintertime,
I don't even get near the water. I run when the tide's going out, and I cast, and I run back out.
Yeah, that's why you got that 9-foot rod, right? Get it over the waves.
Yes.
Whip
me. Okay.
Yeah.
Run back.
Yeah.
It's very comical, you know. Yeah. People are out, and they don't have, they got their suit on, and, you know.
Yeah, they're waders.
And blah, blah, blah. They're in the water. It's like, well, the perch is literally right in front of you.
Yeah.
You know, they're pretty shallow, but.
Oh, yeah.
You know, sometimes I take my work boots and I just go out and walk the sand and just cast, you know, and just keep walking. And, you know.
It's fun. I like it, too, though. Like I was saying, the thing that I like about there is, you know, you can get, like, a quick session in, like you were saying. Uh-huh. But also, like, you don't get the temptation to sit there and look at your phone. Cause like for me, a lot of it is I'll get on my phone and I'll either be texting somebody about work or, you know, or on social media or something like that. And it's like, you know, one minute turns into an hour real fast when you're on your phone, man. And so like when you get out there, you forget about your phone, you put it in your pocket and then like the waves, cause you can't talk to anybody on the phone. You can't, it's hard to fish and have your phone out. So you normally put your phone away unless you catch fish, then you got to take some pictures, but but as far as like, you know, it's just a good way to disconnect from everyday life too, in a short span, which is cool. And,
day with a smile, you know, because if you caught something, if you don't, then you're thinking about the next day.
How you're going to get them the
tomorrow.
Next day. Yep.
I'm going to get them tomorrow.
Exactly.
I'm going to be out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's definitely fun. What are some of the things that you've caught in the surf? Mainly just perch, or have you caught anything else?
Yeah, it's just perch. The Corbina, you know, I haven't had too much luck on that. I wanted to get on some of that striper.
Oh, yeah.
That were running through last year.
There's some this year.
I know.
There was one in Ventura Harbor like a month and a half ago. They got pulled out. Nice. And then I saw one about a month. It might have been less than a month ago. That was, I think, by the power plant or something like that. Somewhere with warm water.
That's where the spot, that's what I hear the spot is at.
Yeah. Well, it depends, you know, like, I personally have never seen one actually physically pulled from the water. It's just what, you know, kind of word of mouth as far as the striper go. And, but from what I understand, they typically like inlets of water. So, like, so anywhere where fresh water is pumping in, is where
that's
they typically,
where they like to be.
Yeah. So like the river mouths, the, you know, the power plants, even the harbors, like, because when the tides come in and go in, it's still a mouth of water. Yeah. So I've heard a lot of like people having luck around those, but I love stripe. Have you ever caught a striper in general at all? Like, you know, in freshwater?
No, that's my, I need to catch one of those.
It's your unicorn?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's,
I mean, it's the Corbina is actually my unicorn.
Oh yeah, those are, and they're, I'll tell you
finicky.
What they're very finicky. I haven't caught a lot of them, but they're definitely worth it. They're so frustrating but so rewarding when you catch one.
Nice.
Like
I can't wait.
Yeah,
for that.
I definitely recommend you to like keep on it with those guys, and they're, you know, they're here like year round.
Oh,
like
yeah.
the bite changes a little bit. But realistically, I mean, they feed and they're here year round. And the one thing, like when I took a guy out this last fall, or I guess it would have been summer. I took a guy out and he caught his first one.
Oh, wow.
And I'd only caught one before, but I knew how I caught it. And so like we met up and he's like, yeah, I've always wanted to catch one. Da, da, da. And I was like, all right, well, let's, you know, this is the rig that I caught mine on. You know, I go, here's the rig that I caught mine on. I'm not saying it's going to work. I'm just saying this is what I caught mine on. This is what I'm going to fish with. And he's like, all right, well, I'll go, you know, I'll just do the same thing you're doing. So we went out and we were fishing and we fished for a couple hours, but it was the same thing. Like you were saying, it's like, I was going out for a couple hours and then I had to go back home and do stuff. So, I had to take off cause I think my daughter had like her, presentation for school or something. So I had to get back to town, and then so I left and he's like, yeah, I'm gonna stay for another 30 minutes or something. And no joke, literally like 10-15 minutes goes by and he shoots me a picture of a big old, he got a big old like 20 inch Corvina, and he was pumped, man, because he had been fishing, you know, I think he's like 20 or something, like 19 or 20, and he had been fishing like his, like all growing up, and like they always went surf fishing and stuff like his family did. And he goes, I've never seen one. Like, he goes, literally, he's like, my, I think it was his grandma or something was always joking. And when he said that he was going to go fishing for Corbina, she's like, oh yeah, right. Those are like snipe. There's no such thing as a Corbina, you know? And he's like, no, they're there. And, so sure enough, he caught one and he was pumped, man. And,
oh,
and
man.
So the other thing is too, like, I know you're not a huge fish eater, huh? You're kind of like me as far as you're not a huge, like, you don't eat a lot of fish.
And I don't eat it because my wife doesn't like it, and my kids, well, they don't eat it. So it's like, I bring it, and it just sits there. So it's like, and I'm too lazy. true to cook it. Do it from time to time, but I have my schedule sometimes gets so swamped with everything that I put myself through.
Yeah.
And I don't have time for it.
Yeah.
You know?
No, and then it sits there for too long and then it goes bad. I know exactly what you're talking about. But anyways, what I was gonna say though is that like that's one thing that is cool about Corbina is, you know, some people kind of give you a hard time for keeping them because they say that they take forever to grow or whatever. But I mean, if you catch a decent one, there's a lot of Corbina out there along our surf, and if you catch a decent one, they're supposed to taste amazing. There's like supposedly I've talked to a few people that say that they're better than halibut. They're a really mild fish. They can't be commercially fished. So nobody, you know, a lot of these places that, you know, like when you go to restaurants and you order high end fish, they're not an option. It's not that they, you know, so it's like one of those things that it's like a.
That is true. They can't. They're in the surf.
Exactly.
They can't troll on the surf.
That's why you can't. Troll. Yeah, you can't go buy a barred surf perch in the markets either, because you can't. It has to be from you know, a fishing line, and so nobody really commercially fishes them. And so because of that, like a lot of people, I feel like don't know about them, but from what I've heard and this guy that caught one, he took his home and cooked it up. And he was saying like, so he had one and it was like 20 something inches long. And, he got four, cause like the way that they have meat on their body, he ended up with like four pieces of meat. It was almost like four fillets, like top and bottom. Yeah. And, he said that he made it for him and his girlfriend and his parents. And like, everybody got like a decent size piece of fish, and they all said it was like really good. So I've been wanting to catch one and try eating it, but I caught, since then I think I've caught two, but I didn't I just wasn't, I guess I don't know,
you weren't mentally prepared
to take it home, you know what I mean? Because like you were saying, you gotta have the energy. I'm sitting there going like, this thing is such a beautiful fish, and like it's gonna sit, you know, I got, you know, we're making spaghetti tonight, we got enchiladas tomorrow, this is gonna be, you know, this is gonna be like on Friday night when I'm gonna be making this thing, and then but I got people coming over, I don't think I'm gonna have enough for everybody. So I'm all sitting there planning out in my head like, but I don't want to freeze it, it's gonna ruin the fish. So I'm like, all right, I'll just let him go. So you know, I'll let it go. So that's what I did with mine. I'm not, because that's that, you know, like when it comes to, I think when it comes to shore fishing in general, that's kind of how I am. I do a lot of catch and release shore fishing. And so it's just a matter of like, if, you know, if I plan on eating it, like if I beforehand I'm like, hey, I want to go catch dinner, then I'll take it home. But if I don't, then it's basically catch and release the whole show.
You know, I do a lot of that, you know. I do a lot of, you know, and if it's like we're out there rock fishing or whatnot, and it's like, if I know that I'm gonna eat it, I'll you know, keep some. But most of the fish that I catch, it's I'll give it away, you know. If there's people that actually do want it and do eat it, you know. And then there's sometimes that I bring it home and I just give it to the neighbors or give it to my family, you know, that ask me for fish, you know, because they know that I fish. And you know, but there's also times where it's like they want fish and then they don't want to come and get it, and that's another story, you know.
Yeah. It's like, wait a minute, I just spent a bunch of money and all day.
What, do you want to cook it for you too? Or what's the deal?
Yeah,
you know, you don't want to come and get it. Well, I mean, you know, so it is what it is.
But. Yeah. Well, that's one of the good things about going on the ocean boats, though, is that you do come home with quality fish, as far as like people are more likely to take the fish because they're not scared of it. You know, like if you brought home a bag full of a surf perch, I guarantee you it's going to be a lot harder to find homes for that surf perch than if you bring home some tuna. You know, you bring home tuna, you got people coming from 30 minutes to an hour away to come and pick up tuna fillets. But you bring home surf perch, you're basically giving it to the raccoons next door. You
know? Yeah, exactly. What is that?
Fish? Even trout, man. Even trout. Like, you get trout, and like a lot of people say they like trout until you try to give them trout. And then they're like, I don't really think I'm going to be cooking trout anytime soon. I'm like, what? I thought you said you love trout, you know? And it's like, but I feel like, I think the only ones, like, there's like a few, like halibut, white sea bass, tuna, and salmon. They're like, I think it's just because they have the name, you know, all over the restaurants and everything. So it's like everybody wants it, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know what's funny? Like a lot of people say they really love Yellowtail. To be honest with you, I don't really like. I'm not a huge fish eater.
It has its unique taste.
But it's not like to me. It wasn't anything special compared to rockfish. And I don't know. A lot of people are probably gonna get mad at me.
You can't. Yeah, rockfish, but, especially those fish that we call red snappers. Which yeah, are not really. They're called vermilion.
Vermilion rockfish. Yeah.
Yeah. And we call, everybody knows them as, you know, those things are delicious.
They are. They're really good. And they're hard to beat, man. You know?
Yes.
And that's one of the things that drives me nuts. Like, we were talking about how, you know, people, like, talk down on certain types of fish. And, oh, they're just going for rockfish or something. It's like, wait a minute. Those are, like, some of the best tasting fish out there. And you guys are downplaying them because they're loading up on limits of that stuff. Like, like calm down, you know? Just because they're not going after your one fish. Because that's one of the hard parts for me, too, was, like, when you go on a lot of those, you know, like, on charter boats. You know, you go on, like, boats, not talking down on them at all. But, you know, like the Aloha Spirit, for example.
Yeah.
They're a great boat. And they bring in numbers of yellowtail, white sea bass, all the specialty fishes, you know, like all the big game fishes. They're really good at putting people on those things. Yeah. But like at the same time, sometimes it's so hard to like gamble that cost, you know, like I have a hard time with it sometimes, but like, I know that if I fork out the money, they're going to put me on the fish. It's just, so I think it's a lot of, it's probably self-doubt. Like, I don't think I'm actually going to do that great. Like, it's like I'm gonna be the one guy on that boat that doesn't catch one, you know.
Yeah, you can't do that, you know.
No, you really just gotta spend the money and get out there, and if you don't do it, then you're never gonna succeed at it.
Yeah.
But like that's one of the things about like when you're picking different boats, like knowing what they go for, you know what I mean? Like if you want to go on like fishing for bass or yellowtail or stuff like that. Like those types of boats, those are the ones you want to get on because they're gonna put put you right on them, you know.
And plus, paying attention to the counts, you know, on each boat, because you know every boat has its counts out on their websites.
Yep.
And you pay attention to who's catching what and who's focusing on what and what kind of fishing, you know. Some are known for rock cod fishing. Some are known for just game fish, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, and that's just, it's you doing a little bit of your homework and then knowing and kind of figuring out what style of fishing you wanna be doing that day that you wanna book your spot.
Yeah, and you know, like speaking of the same thing, like Santa Barbara is probably one of my favorite areas to go for. Like if I'm going specifically for rockfish, I love going out of Santa Barbara because they have big old reds and yeah, it's their fishing grounds are just like unfished. I feel like, you know, the one boat does nothing compared to, cause you got three landings that fish and a Kappa. And so they're just nailing them like crazy. So they don't have the time to grow.
They're going in a circle.
Yeah. And like you'll get limits, but the limits are going to be way different. But the one thing I do have to say is their weather's way better. You know, like you get a bad day at Anacapa is a good day in Santa Barbara.
Yeah, I know.
That's like, because you're on the north ends of the islands. It's like, man, the only thing, but except for the half days, if they do the coastal in Santa Barbara, but you don't get the big fish.
But you do get
some good quality, you know, fun fishing. But
and the shallows too.
Yeah.
If you love shallow rock fishing, that's where you want to be.
Yeah,
you know, I don't think they surpass 200 feet for the most part. Most of the time it's a buck 50, buck 75, and you don't have to be cranking for day.
No, it's super mellow. And I took my wife when she was pregnant. Actually, must have been the last trip that I went on before we had the baby, because I'm pretty sure that was it, because we took her out when she was like 8 months pregnant out on the Stardust out of Santa Barbara, and we just went on a coastal trip, and it was super cool because they don't leave till 9, you know, you stay right, I mean, you can see the shore, it's real close. I think that day, I don't even know if we went over 100 foot, It was it was really shallow. We were catching a bunch of, and they were catching like little, I think we were catching a bunch, like there was whitefish. I want to say some people were catching calicos, and then
they get close to that that little island. I think it's Shell Island or whatnot.
Yeah,
and, they do a little bit of sand bass and calicos, and then whitefish right there.
And then there was perch too. Are they
perch? Yeah. But sometimes they'll go to the, I think it's called the 4 Mile.
Okay.
So they go to the 4 Mile.
Yeah.
And there's a bunch of different little stones all over the place.
Yeah.
And you catch a variety of different rock cod as well right there.
Yeah. There, it's a pretty cool little spot. And then, like Ventura, Channel Islands, and Hook all kind of go to the same areas. And I said, I've been wanting to go down south. I know you've been down there a lot more. Have you gone out of pretty much all the landings down south?
I've been out of Marina Del Rey. I haven't done 22nd Street. I've been out of Pier Point. There's also the city of Long Beach, which is another landing.
Yeah.
I've been out of the Patriot, which is Newport Landing. I've been out of the other one where the Thunderbirds at. Davy's Locker.
Oh, Davy's Locker.
I've been out of Oceanside. I've been out of Dana Point, and then San Diego. So yeah, I've done. Quite and I've bit. Also gone up north to Morro Bay, and I fish up there as well.
How did you like that up there?
It's pretty cool. I mean, you know, it's a little different style of fishing because they can use gunny sack, and you have to hook it right in front of you.
Yeah.
And the further north you go, it's, I believe, from what I, you know, a couple of the guys that I know, a few guys that I know, it's like, or the pictures that I see, it's the same style, but they won't, I don't know, it's just different. But I went out of Morro Bay, and it's just, you know, we got there late. The guy that we're supposed to meet up, which is a buddy of mine, you know, and it took us to where the boat was the night before. And in the morning, they moved it, so the boat left us.
No way.
Yeah, the three-quarter day boat left us, and we ended up in a half-day boat.
Oh, wow.
And we literally just went out the breakwall a mile out, and we started fishing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I was like, okay.
That's weird.
And we had a good time fishing the shallows as well.
Was it... Cause like I haven't gone up north, and I know like they're mainly, like they used to do albacore and stuff, but it's mainly rockfish of the year, right?
Yeah, it's unless the albacore come close.
Yeah,
which I've heard the albacore are here, you know, San Clemente Island. For those of you that want to go
that far,
try
out
to chase some albacore, which I would love to try to do.
I would.
I've got invited up north in Salinas area, Santa Cruz area.
Yeah.
And all that stuff, Monterey and stuff. I got a couple buddies over there with boats. But it's just, it's the long drive.
You
pretty much have to, you know, you have to plan it out, and you have to hotel rooms unless, you know, stay with you know.
If you ever want to do it, I'm down to go, man, because that's one thing I've always wanted to catch some albacore tuna. Would be really cool.
Oh, yeah. And San Clemente Island, from what I hear, or some people are catching... You know, private boats are catching the albacore.
Yeah.
And I just heard that 2-3 days ago.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but, that...
You have to get on the overnight boats, and who's going to do an overnight right now, you know, when the season's pretty much closed?
Yeah.
So unless you have a really nice, big boat, you know, to go, you know...
Make that trip.
60, 70 miles out, you know, you're just going to have to wait till they get closer, if that.
Yeah.
But... When it goes, you know, when it gets to up north, you know, if I know that we're going for sure and there's an open spot, I'll be more than happy to drag you along.
That'd be awesome. Yeah, I've been wanting to go because I've never fished north of Santa Barbara on a boat. I've wanted to go up there. One of the places I've been wanting to go is out of the Bay Area.
To go, San Francisco.
Yeah, like they do those. Well, oh, that's that's a different story, but that's more on my freshwater side. I really want to go up there and do their halibut and striper trips.
Oh, yes. Yes. Bathtub, yeah. I believe, is one of the boats that was killing it on the halibut.
I was going to say, you see them and they got their whole decks lined up with halibut, and then they're all holding stripers, and I'm like, man, yes, that looks like a fun day right there, you know?
Yeah, I almost took off last year, but it's just like, it's one of those things where I drive so much for work.
Yep.
And that's like, I get home on Friday, and it's pretty much turn and burn.
Yeah.
You know, because you want to go out there and fish Saturday, and then rest up, and then drive back Sunday, and then rest up, and then take, off again on Monday, pretty much heading back the same way.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't want to do that, you know?
Yeah.
But I do want to do it.
I've been thinking about it because I have family up in Sacramento area, so I've been thinking about going up there because from Sacramento, it's only like, I think it's like 1.5-2 hours to get to the Bay Area, so it's not like, so you could definitely like wake up early, if your boat doesn't leave till 6, you can wake up, leave Sacramento at like 4 and still get out there, and it's a lot better than driving overnight and jumping on a boat or having to drive to a hotel.
Was that we were actually working out in Burton. So we're staying
there.
Oakland. Yeah, we're in Oakland, and there's a buddy of mine that's where he lives, and he's like, come on, jump on.
Yeah.
And, it's funny because we were working nights, and it's like, it could have been done, but it's that whole thing where it's like, you don't get to sleep, but you don't get to rest, and it's going to affect your work. Your
time, yeah.
So it's like, you know what? It's not happening. But, we travel a lot for work, and there's places that, this coming up this year, if I'm going to have my little fishing pole and all my little setup in my bag ready to go for work,
There you go.
We go out of town to the beach and hit the surf or just, buddy up with the fishing boat, or a private boat or whatnot, and just take off,
Well, that's one of the coolest things I feel like with, both you and I being on the social network, man, we get like, you're posting, you're going places and stuff. It's cool because people, our friends and stuff tie us in with other people and you.
Oh, yeah.
You really, I started going out to, Yuma, Arizona for dove hunting in early September, and the first year I went out there, I knew a bunch of different people that were going but never met up with anybody or anything. And before my first year of going, I never knew anybody that went there. I never really heard of it, and then I went out there and I heard of a few other people that were going, and then the second year I went out there and we actually met up with somebody that I knew from back home, from back over here. And I was like, oh, this is cool. I didn't know you guys come out here. Like, oh yeah, we've been coming out here for years. And then, and I didn't even know it, and then this last year it was funny. I had one of those, moments. I'm sure you've probably had them too before, but where you have somebody that recognizes you from social media and you're you've never met them before in your life. And you feel horrible. Cause you're like, oh man, you're like, hey, how's it going, man? You're like, yeah, they know you by your name and everything. And you're like, who are you? And they're like, they tell you their Instagram name, and it's like something, some random thing. You're like, that's why I don't know your name. Yeah. You're like, shoot, man. You're like, yeah, I didn't recognize you because you have kind of an odd name. I don't really, I don't even know what your real name is,
Are you a stalker?
Exactly. No, but it was super cool because we walked into a restaurant, me and my wife did, because me and my wife went and somebody just randomly was like, hey, he was a bigger, almost like a biker looking guy, and he's sitting in the corner, somebody I wouldn't expect to be on Instagram. And the guy, he's staring at me real hard. And I was trying not to look at him. Why is he staring at me, man? And then we walk and right as I go to walk by him, he goes, you have the Instagram page, the Cali Outdoorsman. And I was like, yeah. And I guess it was cause I was wearing my hat too. So he recognized my hat. And he's like, yeah, man. He's like, I follow you on Instagram. And I was like, oh, cool. And then at that point I was like, what else do I say to this guy now? I don't know. I was like, yeah, cool. It's good to see you, man. Where are we supposed to
thanks
go with this?
Following me.
Yeah. Thanks for following me. I don't really know, cause he was like, Yeah, he was there with like his family and a bunch of other hunters and stuff, and so that's, I was like, awesome. Yeah, like just kind of like luckily we were headed to our table, so I was like, yeah, all right, it's good to see you, man. And then like went and sat down, and then like afterwards was like, man, I should have like asked the dude like what his Instagram was so I could have like give him a shout out or something. You know, yeah, I felt bad. I was like, oh man, I should have done something, but
yeah, I've gotten that too where it's like, hey. Aren't you so-and-so? It's like, yeah, man, how are you, eh?
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, oh, cool, dude, blah, 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 this and this and that. It's like, you know, and like I said, you know, you get used to after a little while as people, you know, come up to you or whatnot, and it's like pretty awesome feeling. And it's just like you going up to somebody that you know, and they're like, oh, it's like, yeah, I get what you're doing, you know, but I just want to come and shake your hand or whatnot, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I had one just recently. It was funny because I send out sticker packs and stuff to people that are just like people that just follow me. Like I'll do like little giveaways or whatever. And
there you go.
Just recently, I was at Lowe's in Ventura, and like some younger kid comes up to me. He's probably like 16 or something like that. And he comes up to me and, hey, you're Cali Outdoorsman, right? And I was like, yeah. And then he's like, yeah, man. He's like, you just sent me a bunch of stickers. And like, so this one, I felt even more bad because like, I literally sent him something in the mail. So like, I knew his name and stuff. I just didn't, I didn't know, like, I didn't have like his name to his face. You know what I mean? I was like, yeah. And I was like, oh man. I was like, and then like afterwards, I was like trying to think like who was that kid? Like because I sent out like 20 or 30 different sticker packs like the week before.
Yeah.
So I was like, sitting there, I was like, man, I wish I would have like, you know, stopped and because I was working. So I was like in a hurry to like get in and get out kind of thing at the store. And then I was like, oh, now I feel like kind of mean that I didn't like stop, take the time to talk to him and stuff, you know?
Yeah, but no, sometimes it's just part of the moment, you know?
Yeah.
People just recognize
well, and it's not
say hi,
it's know? Not our thing, like we're not like, it's not like we're famous, you know?
No,
so
we're
like we're not celebrities, so like when it catch like, when we get it, it's like, whoa, this is weird. Yeah, but
yeah, that's awesome.
But
it's
no,
a good feeling though, man. It's a good feeling because especially if you're doing something positive, you know, in the community.
Yeah,
and they come up to you and they, you know, you get to see their smile on their face, and that's what it's all about, you know.
Yeah.
If you're doing something good.
Yeah.
If you were not a good person, then they would.
They wouldn't even want to say hi.
Oh no.
No, that's what's cool is like both of the ones that I've had, I might have actually had one or two more, but those were like two that were pretty notable to me that I remember, and both of them it was like they're both like pretty super stoked to meet me, yeah. And I was like, that's cool. That's like awesome. That I'm actually like putting an impression out there that people want to meet me in person, you know, or at least say, because I'm sure other people have seen me out and about that follow me, but they're not wanting to say hi, you know, like, so it's cool that it's cool when people actually do say hi. It's just, like I said, it catches you off guard and you like kind of feel bad afterwards. You're like, I didn't feel like I should have done something special, you know, like,
oh yeah, yeah, exactly.
But,
exactly.
Yeah.
That happens, you know.
Yeah. So just to kind of change things up a little bit. So you started fishing, you started the fishing crew, and then so you guys have always, like, we've always done, like, 'cause I'm part of it too. You know, we've done the barbecues, and then you've done some meetups and takeovers and stuff like that on the trips. And then you do the kid fishing days too, right on the pier.
Yes, it's going to be our sixth year this year. This year, I believe we're going to be doing it in May.
Okay.
And first or second week of May. That's what you know. I send out a little post regarding what day would work. You know.
Yeah.
And, most of the guys are like, oh, May. It's like, okay, well, perfect. You know.
Yeah.
It's you know, I'm grateful to kind of give back. You know, especially for the kids.
Oh yeah.
And regarding barbecues and stuff like that, last year I didn't do one. It's just, you know, it's trying to get funding for the kids for this year.
Yeah.
And that was the reason why, you know.
Yeah.
It's really hard to kind of you know, keep asking your support system, you know, which is the tackle stores, you know, the moms and pops, the people that are grinding to get their products out there, you know, the small businesses. Yeah. You know, it's hard to keep on asking, you know.
Yeah.
Every year. So this year I was just like, you know what, I'm just gonna try to focus on I'm trying to build inventory or just, you know, just stuff to kind of gather some more funding, you know.
Yeah.
I'm thinking May, you know, somewhere in the first week or two of May.
Yeah.
You know, like we've always done, I put out a flyer out on social media, and it don't matter what age, you know, it doesn't even have to be kids. It could be a full grown up, you know, wanting to learn how to fish, you know, if they've never done the pier fishing, you know, kind of pier fishing. It's its own creature, you know. It's not like the party boats. No. You know, it's a whole different technique. It's you know, if you're perch fishing, it's its own creature. If you're, you know, every style of fishing takes its unique way of doing it.
Oh yeah. Yeah, and you know, what's cool, you know, one of my favorite things about going to the pier, because I've fished like a whole bunch of different types of fishing, and one of my favorite things about the pier is you can have a homeless guy, you know, with fishing poles with broken stuff that somebody threw off to the side of the road, you know, or threw it in the trash can because they broke it while they were out there fishing. Yeah. He'll be fishing there, catching fish right next to the guy that, you know, down the way that's got $1,000 setup.
Oh, yeah.
Fishing for sharks. And then there's also the little kid that's got his first fishing pole that's there catching little, you know, mackerel or whatever. It's like, no matter what walk of life you come from, everybody can enjoy a fishing pier.
I've seen it.
Yeah. And that's one of the coolest things about piers, I feel like, to me. And like, it bums me out because there's a lot of, you know, we used to have a lot more piers in California. I don't know if you know that, but like they've taken down a bunch. And even, you know, since you've been fishing, I don't know if you heard about the one up north that they closed, and I don't think they're planning on reopening that. It's up, I think it's Gaviota.
Oh, Gaviota.
Yeah, it got torn apart. I think it was the same year that Ventura got torn apart.
Nino. Yes.
Remember that? Because I was worried about Ventura Pier because Ventura Pier is already, it's only like, I think it's less than half the length that it originally was.
It was the longest pier in California.
And then what they did was when it got destroyed one time, they go, we're not going to rebuild it.
No. Nope.
They just capped it. And I was like, when it blew apart, that last one, I was like, shoot, they're not going to fix this thing for months. And I was shocked because they had that thing back and going in like a month or two. Remember that?
Yeah, they got it.
It was quick.
It's Ventura, and it brings a lot of tourism to Ventura. And a lot of the tourism end up on the pier because they want to walk the pier.
Yeah, well, I think that's changed, which is a good thing, because like just recently, I mean, I just went out on there for the first time in quite a while, and I mean, they have, because now there's the brewery out there, the Topa Topa Brewery, or no, it's Made West Brewery, and then they have that taco place, the Taco Shack is huge now.
Amazing.
Yep. Well, it's gotten huge. Like when I first was fishing the pier, it was like literally like a little hole in the wall, you know, and then now they got like a big old nice patio, and then. You know,
Eric says, I think they changed the name, if I'm not mistaken.
And it's smaller because that's why they were able to add the brewery Made West.
Building. That's what it was. Okay.
I think that
just goes to show you how, well, you know,
when the last time I was there. Yeah. So I haven't actually been in it, but I think like the upstairs or something is the brewery. And then downstairs is the restaurant or something like that. It's like separated. So that same building is the brewery and Eric Erickson's or whatever it is now. Yeah. And then now they have the Taco Shack. But, you know, so I think that it's been changing and is bringing a lot more to that area. Because for a while, like when I was back in high school, like in, you know, before like 2010-ish, because I graduated in 2008. And I used to go down there a lot when I was in high school. So like 2004, 2008, I went down there a lot. And, I mean, it was, not to talk bad on it, but it was getting to like a kind of a shady place to hang out.
When I first started fishing that pier, back in 2012, it was a little rough around the edges.
Yeah. And cause I fished a lot at night, like when it comes to ocean fishing from the shore, like, well, not the shore, I should say. Like, because I fished a lot in the harbors and the piers, and I pretty much always would fish at night. And I don't know, I like night fishing.
Oh, yeah, no.
So I would go there, and so, like, the Ventura, I mean, Wainimi Pier's definitely probably the worst one that I've been on at night.
Yeah.
Yes. But Ventura Pier was a pretty close second. I mean, I watched a lot of people get jumped out there. I've watched people overdose out there. It was, like, it was not a very, you know, like, it wasn't a place you wanted to take your kids at night.
No. And it was a 24-hour pier. Yeah.
And so they've definitely cleaned it up a lot. And I think the tourism side of that has helped with that as far as, like, you know. But the downside is like, the same with, like, I don't like fishing Santa Barbara because they have so much tourism that, like, I feel like fishermen are, like, the outcasts there. You know, like, you don't get a...
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you're pushed to, like, two little spots on the piers where they're allowed to fish. Yep. And then it's, like, there's too many people. So, to me, like, I've only fished there a few times, and I was like, this is ridiculous, you know? So, I...
Plus, the pier's not that long either, you know? No. And it's pretty narrow.
Yeah. Now I think they changed it, but it used to be... The other thing I didn't like was there was no railing on the end.
Yes. I'm talking about... I'm thinking
Goleta.
Goleta Pier. Yeah, you're right.
Ventura or the Santa Barbara, like, it was because there's all the restaurants on there and the shopping and stuff.
Yes, that's right. And you could actually drive.
Yeah, you drive out on it.
Uh-huh.
And but, like, the end was the main fishing area, and then there's one spot that's, like, in the middle by the museum. There's, like, an ocean museum there that you can fish. Okay. But that spot's, like, really tiny, and I don't know. I'd never really even fished there. And then the other side, at the very end, there was no railing. So, like, if you're fishing, like, whenever I pier fished, you set two poles up, and you just set them there, right? Yeah. Like, that's pier fishing to me. But you can't there because there was no railing. Like, you literally, like, you had to hold your pole the whole time. Or, you know, like, I don't know what else you would do. You had to hold it the whole entire time. So you'd fling it out there and you'd have to stand there and hold it. And it was like, that's not pier fishing to me because, like, I can't sit there. It's way easier, like, when I'm still fishing with bait and stuff, it's way easier to, like, just set it in a pole holder and then you can see when you're getting bites.
Yep.
And
yeah, no, you're right.
And
yeah,
it was just, for me, it was, like, kind of out of my element, I think. And then, but that's why I liked Goleta a lot because of the, it's far enough away from people.
Yeah, tourism.
It wasn't huge tourism spot. During the day, if you fish it during the day, there's a lot of the college kids that would come running or riding bikes down it because it's right there by the college. But that's not that bad of a deal because they normally just run by or ride their bike by and then go back. It's like, whatever.
Yeah, they're not bothering you.
Yeah. They might come and try to...
Tourism is like, if you catch something that they want to see exactly what's going on, are you going to release it? Or what are you going to do with it? And so it's like, at least leave me alone.
Yeah, exactly.
Stop stressing me out on fishing.
Yeah. This is supposed to be my stress-free zone.
Yeah, you're making it worse.
Yeah. You know? So I mean, that's, you know, when it comes to the piers, it bums me out when I see piers closing because, like, the Gaviota one is another one that I've heard was really good, and I never got to fish it.
No, me neither. I heard it was good spot to fish.
Yeah, and I never got to go out on it, and it's, from the looks of it, like, I think Big Ross and John Williams just went up there, and they both said it's still closed. So,
it's just a park. I mean, you could fish off the beach, but I heard it's pretty rocky or something like that.
Yeah. And, you know? Man, I wish, like, it would be so awesome if they made Ventura Pier as long as they used to be. They have that deep hole that's out in the corner, and the pier used to pass the deep hole, so, like the middle of the pier, you could catch some massive fish. Like, you could actually, I heard stories and stuff of people catching good rock fish and stuff at the end.
As you go up to the pier, and I mean, you're pretty much about three quarters, if not a little further, to the right hand side as you're going up.
Yeah,
there's actually rockfish right there.
Really?
Yeah, you could catch rockfish. I've seen people catch rockfish.
I wonder if there's just a little rock pile over there.
Yeah, I think there's a pipe or something like that. Going parallel to it.
Well, that's what I like.
And then on the other side, there's a drop off.
Yeah.
But you really have to launch your pole.
At the end, right?
Yeah, and I've seen a black sea bass up to 150 pounds being caught right there.
Oh, wow.
Which is illegal.
Yeah.
And those fish, you know, people that don't know, and you come up, it's like, hey, you can't keep that fish.
Yeah.
They're like, what do you mean? It's like, well, it's a black sea bass, it's endangered, and yep. You're going to get fined if they catch you.
You do some jail time.
Yeah, jail time. I'm like, oh, really? It's like, you know, and I've seen them release it, but most of the time when they pull them up and they don't put them back, you know, and in the time that needs to be put back, they end up floating and on the shore.
Yeah.
Dead.
Yeah.
And so I've seen you know, quite a few of black sea bass. If, and I'm talking about a handful of black sea bass from 60 to 150, 200 pounds.
Wow. I didn't know that. I've seen I've seen great whites, like pups, little ones.
I was about, I don't know, 3-4 years ago when all the juvenile great whites were coming around the Ventura Pier, and we were snagging them and hooking them and cutting their line because it was another great white.
Yep.
It wasn't a thresher.
Yeah.
And there was actually an incident where a lady would swim around the pier every morning. That was a routine. And that day, you know, we told her to get out of the water because there was great whites. And she's like, she's waving at us, you know, like nothing ever happened. And 5 feet behind her, a white came out of the water and ate something.
Oh, geez.
And made a splash. And she looked back and just, I mean, took off to the beach, you know, and got off and came up and thanked us and everything. And I think we posted a picture or a little video or whatnot of that.
Really?
Oh yeah, that was pretty interesting.
You have to share that to me because that's cool. I haven't seen that yet. I don't think I had one. It was actually one of the days. You know, Kevin Brandon, right? Yeah, I went out and helped him on one of his kid fishing days a few years back. And when we were out there in the morning, we set everything up first thing, I think, because everyone gets there at like 8. And we got there at like 7 or something. We're setting everything up. And then we had all our stations set up. And so we were like, hey, there's some guys fishing at the end of the pier. We'll go check it out, see if they caught anything, you know. So a couple of us walked down to the end. And as we walked down there, they're fighting something, right? And we're like, oh, cool. They got something, you know. And these guys bring it in, and I think it was actually, a Chasing Tail Fishing Crew member. It was a younger kid that was there. He always has his GoPro on. I can't think of his name right now. But he was filming, and he had his rope gaff, and he was all ready and amped to bring this thing up, you know. And then like, once it started getting close, he walks back over and throws his gaff back in the thing, and everyone's like, why are you putting your rope gaff down? And he's like, by the way, that thing's fighting. I can tell you right now, it's a white shark. And everyone's like, what? And then like the guy that was fighting is like, oh, how do you know? And he's all bringing it up. And then sure enough, as soon as they got color right on the surface, we're like, holy crap, it's a big old white shark, you know? And it was a young one. It was probably maybe 6 foot. It was probably closer to 5. But like,
the same ones.
But man, they were so big around. Like, they look like little, they almost look like a tuna. They're so stinking fat, but it's all in the front. It's all in their head, you know?
Uh-huh.
They look like a big old tadpole or something.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's like, man, so they're just massive.
A year and a half with those great whites.
Yeah.
And we pretty much got tired of it because every toss, you know, every cast that we did out there with live or dead, you know, we're hooking up on gray whites and we're just losing a lot of gear, and it gets expensive, you know. We make our own leaders, and we make, you know, we buy snap swivels and big hooks, and I mean, we just make our own leaders out there, and and it's not cheap, you know.
It gets frustrating, but it was cool. So I like got a video of them because they brought it up, they brought it in close, and then they were going to try and get, cause it went side up and was just kind of chilling next to the pier.
Okay.
And they were trying to get, the hook back. I think that's what they were trying to do, is get their whole leader back. Speaking of losing them. So he was like, well, cause I mean, cause it had tired itself out pretty well. So the, like, so the one kid was like, "Hey, I'll see if I can get my rope gaff. I'll slide it down with your line, and see if I can get it around your hook, and see if we can just, you know, yank your hook out." And so he was trying, but like after a few swells went by, and the shark took off again, and it ended up just snapping him off. But it was cool to see it. That was the first time I'd ever seen one actually brought up to the surface. I've seen them out on the boats and stuff before, but I had never seen one from shore like that. Yeah, it was pretty cool. It's definitely, and the same thing, it would happen when we were there. There was two people swimming around the pier. While we were trying to unhook the thing, there's people swimming around the pier while we're trying to unhook it. Yeah. I was like, "Oh man, you guys are ding dongs, man! It's literally right there, you know. Like, it's not even like, oh, there's a shark way off in the distance. We're trying to unhook it, and then like you're swimming by us, and like we were trying to wave at them, but they had their swimming caps on, so they couldn't hear anything, anyways. They were thinking we were just waving at them or something, but we're like, no, you guys need to get out of the water. Get out of the water, you know?
Yeah, that year that the El Nino hit really, really hard, that the warm water brought all those crazy fish up far this way.
Yeah.
There was a baby hammerhead shark on the Ventura Pier on deck.
Oh, really?
It was probably about a foot and a half big.
Oh, wow. So really little. Yeah,
baby.
Oh, I didn't even know that they
just came out, you know, out of the
Yeah, I didn't even know that they got that small, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I think there's a picture that I have of it, you know, and I grabbed it from the person that took the picture on social media. I just grabbed it and saved it.
Yeah.
But it's literally, each plank, I think it's like 10, 11 inches, and it was like almost two planks.
Wow. That's like pretty
small,
cool.
Small little hole.
Yeah.
That's when that guy got bit
over
there
in Malibu. Uh-huh. Yep. Yeah, I remember that. And then there was a big old thing about that, because the guy was all mad that they made it out to be a shark attack, and he was like, no, because he actually caught it on his kayak and was trying to unhook it, and he was trying to, he let it wear itself out, was trying to set it on his lap so that he could unhook it, and when he got it close enough, it thrashed around and cut him open. Yep. So it didn't even bite him. It just tore him up, I guess. And I was like, that sucks, man.
The top of his foot and just sheared it.
Yeah. So that
a buddy
that,
of mine too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was kind of a bummer. But I have a friend of mine that used to go down out of that same area, and he would paddle out to like near County Line and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that he sold his kayak because he was like, I don't even want to be tempted to go back out there again. He goes, the amount of close encounters that I've had with great whites there.
He goes, it's
eerie. Like, he goes, when you see sharks that are bigger than your kayak cruising underneath you, that'll easily take you out of the water. Yeah. He goes, and you're too close, you're too far. Like when you paddle out to where the fishing grounds are, he goes, you're too far to swim back to shore. And he goes, I'm a surfer and like good swimmer. He goes, but especially if I got injured or got knocked out of my kayak or something, there's no way I'd make it back. And he goes, so it's not even the matter of getting eaten. It's the matter of like them just messing with me at all. And then swimming back. Yeah.
I just got bumped. I wonder what that was. What do you think it was, buddy?
Yeah. I'm like, forget that.
You gotta see what it is. Is it food or what is it?
Yeah, so he has a private boat, and now it goes down on his private boat instead. He's like, I'll pay for gas. He goes, it might be a little bit more expensive, but you know what? At least I'll be able to go fishing again another day. But yeah, sharks are different game altogether.
You have to respect them. Regardless whether you're fishing them from shore or off the boat, you know, because I've seen, you know, people getting bit by leopard sharks.
Yep.
You know, and it's like, well, yeah,
and they got little shark teeth.
What do you expect?
Yeah.
They have teeth.
So speaking of sharks, because that was kind of the first thing that got you interested in shark fishing. Yes. What's your like, do you have a personal best shark?
Well, the biggest one that I've caught, probably about, I don't know, 7.5 foot Persian shark.
Okay.
When it comes to leopard sharks are all kind of the same, around the same 4 to 5 feet, you know.
Okay.
they range. I mean, unless, you know, there's also, there's pinbacks, which is, I think it's also called a dogfish or whatnot.
Yeah, yeah.
Smooth hounds. I've caught a variety of, you know, angel sharks are pretty cool too. I don't know if you know what those are.
Yeah, those, I've only seen one of those things pulled out, and it was like a 4 foot, which I think is a pretty decent.
Those don't get too big, but they're on that. Shovel nose, my biggest shovel nose was probably about 4.5, 5 feet, which is pretty big for that.
Skate? Have you caught any skate?
I actually did catch a big, nice California skate.
Yeah.
It was probably about a 30 to 40 pounder.
Yeah.
Which I've never seen anybody else, you know, catch something like a real California skate, and that was kind of odd, you know. Yeah. Which is pretty cool looking creature,
because the skate are the ones with the pointy nose versus like the shovel nose are the round ones, right?
Exactly. Yeah. A California skate is, it looks like a diamond. Like a
kite. Yeah,
like a kite. Exactly. And the guitar fish, which is a shovel nose, I mean, you know, just
big old round
nose. Yeah, exactly.
Looks more like a banjo.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, they, I just actually caught one, and I think, I gotta look at the pictures now, I think it was actually a skate, that I caught from the surf on an ultralight pole, trout rod, 6 pound setup. And this thing was, it's gotta be close. I wish I would have had a tape. I need to start carrying one with me, but it was probably between like 3 to 4 feet. It was, I mean, I held it like almost straight out by its tail, and it was touching the ground pretty much. So it was a big one, and it took me, I think, like almost 10 minutes to bring it in. Because it was in the surf, it just kept pulling with the waves. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. No, mine was pretty big. It's just pretty awesome.
Yeah.
You know, it was on the pier itself. I've done really well on that pier. You know, it's produced well. You know, you can't compare 7 years to now, you know, now that, you know, the last El Nino that came through, that screwed up that pier, because all the fish kind of completely died off when it comes to shark fishing.
Yeah, that, and I think that a lot of the, like, the dredging and stuff of the beaches really stirs things up a lot, too.
Yeah, that could be it, too.
Because I know, like, I used to fish the harbors a lot. And the harbors get affected a lot from the dredging, because they dredge the harbors. You know, they're pulling all the sand out of the harbors and pumping them back to the beaches. And you still get a lot of the same fishing. It messes it up for quite a while, though.
Yeah, fishers come in and find their spots, get in and blah, blah, and they get chased out and they end up somewhere else.
Yeah. Have you done much, harbor fishing at all, or mainly just?
I've done a little bit. You know, I when I first started fishing, you know, like really got into fishing, I was fishing the pier, I was fishing the harbors, I was fishing the Yetis, I was fishing the surf. I did a lot of fishing in 2012, 2013 into 14, and then it just kind of focused in, and you know, more of on the party boats and stuff like that. But I've done a little bit of everything, and, you know, I love fishing the ultralight, you know, the 4 pound to 6 pound test for opaline.
Yeah.
On the, you know, just the harbors, you know, with muscle and super small treble hooks. I've done that. Or peas, you know, at the end of the Yetis or whatnot.
Yeah.
You know, and the rock pile with pea and a bobber, and just, you know, pulling on those pretty cool looking opalies. I've done some of that, you know.
But, yeah.
You know, my biggest thing nowadays is bass fishing, out of calico bass, that is, or if they put us on sand bass. Yeah. I love pulling on those fish. And most of the time, you know, if not all the time, I release them, I just throw them back.
Yeah. That's one of the coolest parts about bass fishing on those boats, is that you can. You know, like rock fishing, it's like you... If you catch a decent rockfish, they pretty much just grab it and throw it in your bag. I mean, unless you tell them ahead of time, but that's one of the cool parts, is you can sit there and fish bass all day, just catch and release, and it's still rewarding because it's a lot of fun.
Oh yeah, you know, no, totally. My last trip was on the Gentleman in December. I believe it was December. Yeah. And we went down the counter line and we fished for bass and ended up with like a 5-6 pound bass that I kept alive. And one jackpot with it and just thrown back up, you know.
Nice.
So, yeah. So, it's pretty fun for December bass fishing, you know.
Yeah. There you go.
And, that's my biggest thing. It's like, if we're bass fishing, you know, other people are dropping down and catching bass, but if we're going to go bass fish, it's like, I always bring my bass pole regardless, you know. And I love fishing, you know, for other, you know, other fish with the bass pole, because it just kind of, you know, you test yourself, you know?
Yeah, you're pushing the limits of your gear.
Yes, yes, and not to kind of screw up my gear, but it's fun, you know, to land fish on small stuff and really play with the fish if you want to, you know, have fun. You don't stress the fish out, you know, but, you know,
yeah.
you let him do his thing, you know, and you just fight them and they're fighting you and you're like pulling on them and they're pulling on you and when it's time to, you know, land them, then it's time to land them. And if not, then you keep on pulling.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I love bass fishing, especially because my, that's freshwater bass fishing has always been my passion too. So saltwater bass fishing is really similar, in a lot of ways, like same thing, like you're doing lighter setups and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. You just learn how to fight them and stuff.
And sometimes they're finicky, just like how we are, you know, at the lake, just the same way when they're in the ocean.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes the bass are just there and don't want to eat. And then you're just throwing everything you can,
yep.
You know, at them, you know. So it just, you know, you got to go through your whole tackle box, you know, to find that color or that bait or whatever it is that they're, you know, they're making them get aggressive at, you know.
Yeah. Well, dude, if you're really, like, seriously, like bass fishing in the ocean, I'd recommend you going on a, like, spend the money and go on a guided bass fishing trip, like freshwater. Yeah. Because if you go with somebody that knows the lake and knows like how to catch freshwater bass at a specific place, you're going to do, it's just like, you know, like when you go on these ocean fishing boats and like you said, like they know the spots and they know what to use. It's the same thing. I know it's really hard. It's one of those things to me. It's hard, you know, like we were saying about getting into ocean boats, it's just hard financially to like make that leap. But if you really like bass fishing, it seriously, saltwater bass fishing and freshwater bass fishing, there's a reason why they're both bass, you know, there's a lot of similarities. But the cool part is freshwater bass, once you figure them out and once you get addicted to them, you can, you know, you can get a lake pass and you can drive up here for an hour every morning before work and go fishing if you want.
Yeah, you know, that is true.
So it is. And I mean, you can do the same with salt water too. You can go down and go fish some kelp lines and stuff down in Malibu or whatever. But you know, I would just say, like, I'd kind of challenge you if you really do like the bass fishing to maybe try a guided trip and, give it a shot that way, because I know it's really easy to get turned away, especially here in Southern California, from freshwater bass fishing just because it's very challenging. But if you go with a guide, they're going to put you on the fish. They're going to get you. They're going to get you bit.
I've never really thought about it that way, to tell the truth. And I know a guy that's what he does. Well, a couple guys that's their guides. You
well,
know?
Yeah, the Speed Twin, the captain of the Speed Twin right now, his dad. The other one...
Quinshaw.
Yeah. His dad, Fred Quinshaw, is a guide up here.
Yes.
So, and I mean, he's been killing it this winter and this, you know, this year. He's been killing it up here at the lake. So, him, and there's like three or four other ones that are here at the lake too that I know of. And all the guides are really good. I mean, that's what they do for a living, you know. But,
yeah, totally.
But what's cool is they're a little bit more personable than the charter boats, because you got to think it's a captain and one, maybe two people on the boat, not not 20 to 60 people, or even, you know, speed twin can go up to 75, you know. So it's like it's a lot more one-on-one action, which is cool because you'll actually learn a lot more, you know.
That is true.
Yeah, but it definitely, because I mean, if you get into freshwater bass fishing, anything you learn in freshwater bass fishing definitely it applies and it aids to your skills when it comes to saltwater. Because even the gear that they use, I always laugh because you see the new stuff that comes out for saltwater bass fishing, you know, like those little tube jigs that everyone was all going crazy about, those little red ones.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
They've been fishing those for freshwater bass for decades.
Forever.
Decades. Yeah. Yeah. Or Lucky Crafts. They've been fishing those same dang things since my dad was a kid. It's a Rapala. You know, it's a Rapala that's been modified for saltwater. And, you know, the bait that they use, like the tactics that they're using for saltwater bass fishing are just, they're just transferring. It's stuff, the old stuff from freshwater fishing. So if you learn how to freshwater fish, I have a feeling that it's going to be not very long before people are using, you know, drop shotting plastic worms for calico bass, because it's like, it's one of those things, like the more finicky the fish get, then like the more advanced your technique's got to be. And all you got to do is just take freshwater bass fishing techniques to the saltwater, and then you're going to be super well-rounded and know all these different things. So it's a cool niche, the whole bass fishing deal. Cause I know a lot of guys that have transferred or they go back and forth from freshwater to saltwater bass, and they just love bass fishing in general. But one of the ones that I want to go on too is actually, what's his name, is the captain of it. I'm drawing a blank on his name, but Fred Quinshaw's son, the one that does the speed twin.
Yeah.
He also charters. Jake. What's his name?
His name's Jake.
Jake. Yeah. Jake Quinshaw. I've talked to him before, cause he runs a boat for, I think it's Rich Tauber, which is out of here. He's a fishing guide out of Lake Casitas. Yeah. But they have a ocean bass fishing boat. Have you seen that?
Well, I believe Jake bought his own boat, which is a Ranger.
Yes, that's Ranger the boat. And so he runs through Rich Tauber's fishing guide service. So if you wanna go on a charter boat, you can charter that boat, and they take, I think they'll take three or four. I think I talked to him about it once, and he said that three is comfortable. Four, they will take four, but like, you guys, you won't be able to really fish for it. Yeah, but that would be cool because they have big old trolling motors, so they can get you like up in the kelp and up in the rocks.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be a really fun trip.
Yeah, you're fishing the boiler rocks and stuff like that for bigger calico.
Yeah, and that's the same concept, is you're taking, you know, like a freshwater bass fishing technique, and you're going saltwater with it. You know, you're getting a bass boat, you're getting trolling motors, so you can get right up in the little niches along the shorelines. So
that is true.
Yeah, it'd be pretty fun. But, all right, man, well, I think I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up. It's getting kind of late now, I know, for both of us. So, but it was great having you on the
totally,
podcast.
Man. I'm honored that you hit me up, and I'm honored to be a part of what you got going on.
Yeah.
It's pretty sweet knowing that, you know,
that
just keep pushing.
Cool. I appreciate it, man. And yeah, we got to get out and go fishing soon.
So
maybe we'll go hit the surf or something soon, because I need to get out there again, too. So
I know, right? Yeah, I'm off to work. Hopefully be back Thursday or Friday.
There you go.
And then we'll go from there.
All right, man.
All right, well,
thanks again.
Have a good rest of your night, man. And,
all right, you too.
To all your fans out there, man, keep on listening.
Cool.
Yeah, thanks. Pretty cool little show.
Thanks, man. All right, man. I'll talk to you.
Have a good night.
You too.
Have a good night, you guys. All right, bye.
All right, guys. Well, that was the end with Santiago from Chasing Tail Fishing Crew. And I hope you guys enjoyed listening. And if you guys have any questions for Santiago, go ahead and comment on it or send me a message or something, and I can contact him and try to get those questions answered. Other than that, I hope you guys enjoyed the podcast. And I will be posting, like I said, I'm trying to do one once a week. So I think right now it's going to probably be working out to where I'll try to start posting them on Monday, either Sunday night, Monday morning, so that people can download them and listen to them throughout the week. So I will be uploading this on, it's the beginning of the year, 2020. So I will be uploading this, and it is the January 5th. And so it should be online tonight, January 5th. But it'll probably be available for download by the 6th. So Monday, January 6th, they'll be up. So I hope you guys are going to be having a great new year. And look forward to recording some more podcasts. So I'll talk to you guys later. Thank you guys for listening.